Well, good morning, Antioch Community Church, and welcome again to friends and family of the Crawfords who joined us here this morning. And if you're visiting for the first time, what a great morning to jump in to start something new as we're installing our new lead pastor. My name is John Wadija. I was one of the members of the pastoral search team that the elders assembled, along with Joel Love, Ashley Eckerholm, Tom Flaggy, and Kristen Rabin. It's been an honor and a privilege during this search process to go to see how the Lord has worked through Antioch. And it's a joy and my privilege this morning to introduce Mike Crawford. Mike Crawford was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. He placed his trust in Jesus at the age of 6 and grew up actively involved in the ministries and life of his local church. Though he had a foundation of faith early on, it was during college that Mike began to seriously pursue life of following Jesus, intentionally reading scripture, sharing his faith, and living out his calling. Mike holds a dual Juris Doctor and Master of Public Administration degree from the University of Arkansas, which he completed in 2010. That same year, he began sensing a deep call toward ministry. On Thanksgiving Day in 2011, during a walk, he heard the clear call of God, telling them that he was being called to preach the word. From that moment on, he knew the direction of his life had changed. He would spend it proclaiming God's truth and shepherding his people. Mike enrolled at Bethel Seminary in St. Paul in 2012 and earned a Master of Arts in Ministry Practice in 2015. He has served in several ministry roles in the Twin Cities. As chaplain at Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities, he provided pastoral care and counseling to individuals experiencing homelessness. Later, as the director of special needs ministry at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Mike also served on the pastoral team, regularly preaching, officiating weddings, funerals, baptisms, and offering pastoral care to families impacted by disability. Over time, God made it increasingly clear that Mike was being called to serve as lead pastor. In April 2025, he officially began his ministry as the lead pastor of Antioch Community Church. Mike and his wife, Latasha, have been married since 2012. They will be celebrating their 13th wedding anniversary tomorrow. And last and not least, they are the proud parents of two children, Livia and MJ. So our pastoral search team began meeting in early 2023, 2.5 years ago, with the goal of seeking a man God was calling to lead Antioch. After a season of prayer, preparation, and discerning what kind of pastor would be a good fit for our church, we launched a national search and fielded over 60 candidates. We first connected with Mike in the fall of 2024, and from the beginning, we were struck by his joy in the Lord, his passion for preaching God's word, and his deep love for people. Throughout our conversations, Mike consistently showed humility, compassion, and a shepherd's heart. We sensed that he not only aligned with the values and mission of Antioch, but was eager to lead us forward in faith and purpose. After unanimous affirmation from both the search team and the elder board, Mike was presented as a candidate in January of this year, spent a weekend with our church in February, and was joyfully affirmed by the congregational vote soon after. He officially began as our lead pastor in April 2025. God has been incredibly faithful to our church throughout this journey. Today, we celebrate his provision and the installation of Pastor Mike as our new lead pastor.
Yeah. It is a good morning. John mentioned my name is Joel. I also served on the pastoral search team, and I'm a member of our elder team here at Antioch. And I have the joy and the privilege of making this legit this morning. So we're going to certify Mike. So I'm going to read a certification statement on behalf of our elder team and our congregation. And then, Mike, you can respond with your certification as well. So I hereby certify that Mike Crawford has been called to the position of lead pastor of Antioch Community Church under the guidance of God through the prayerful deliberations of our church fellowship as prescribed in our church constitution.
Thank you. I hereby accept this call because I know it is the call of God for me and my family. And I dedicate myself to faithfully carrying out the position of lead pastor of Antioch Community Church with the Lord's help and your prayerful support.
Praise God for a joyous day. My name is James Christensen. I help lead our prayer team here at Antioch, and I have the privilege of offering a prayer of thanksgiving this morning. So would you bow your heads and join me in a prayer of thanksgiving? Oh, Father, you are so good to us, and you have been faithful. And so I want to start, Father, with your character. Because we know all the tangible blessings that we have received over these last years of transition, all the things that we have physically received, they are only because of your character, because of your holiness, your kindness, your love for us. So, Father, thank you for your adoption, that we are adopted as your children. So, Father, we don't want to take that lightly. So we praise you for your character that makes all the physical blessings possible. So, Father, to name a few that you have given us, because you deserve praise for everything, but, Father, a few stick out over these last years. One, we just thank you so much for our interim pastor, Patrick. Father, he has been such a blessing, as well as Kimberly and the boys, to this church. I think all of us could point to multiple sermons where we have grown and matured in our understanding of you and in our way we relate to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and the world around us. So, Father, thank you for providing Patrick and the family. We've really benefited from that godly man. Father, we also thank you and praise you for so many people at Antioch who stepped up and took on extra work and extra effort. In many ways, it's not what we would have wanted. It wasn't our choice to have two pastors leave at the same time. That wouldn't have been the way we scripted it. But Father, you raised up people. Thank you for the search team. Thank you for the elder team. Thank you for the staff. And pretty much everyone at Antioch who stepped up to fill in some role that was needed. So we praise you for that. But also, Father, we thank you for the growth that happened in those individuals and in my life because of these last years. Thank you that you have matured us, you have deepened our understanding of your ways and your character. And so, Father, for that maturity that would not have happened otherwise, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, of course, we praise you today for Mike, and we praise you today for their family. Thank you so much, not only for calling Mike to ministry, for maturing him as a man of faith, as a man of God, for giving him a wonderful wife to support him. Father, thank you for that whole family, but also specifically, thank you that you have called him here. I know for me, there were times I was like, well, who would want to come and serve at Antioch, Lord? And the season felt long. But Father, thank you for preparing his heart specifically for us. And so, Father, we ask for many years of fruitful service, not only in deepening of this congregation and our congregation's love for you and love for the neighborhood, love for our community and one another, but Father, we also ask for fruits of new souls saved. Father, bring in those who are from the kingdom of darkness and transfer them into the kingdom of your beloved Son because of the ministry that Mike brings and the way he preaches and the way he shepherds this flock. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to invite up Brian Ferrone. He is our Evangelical Free Church District Superintendent, so we are happy to have him here this morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Brian. Well, good morning. As James said, my name is Brian Ferrone, and I serve as District Superintendent for EFCA's North Central District, and I am so thankful to be with you today. My wife Terry is here with me. To Antioch Church, I want to say a genuine word of thanks for your partnership, but also to get to be a part of a day like today is a rare honor and a privilege, and I think of it like that. And so I'm grateful to be here. Mike, I'm grateful that you've invited me to be here as well. And my goal here today is really pretty simple. I'm going to do two sermons today. You know, it dawned on me that usually you have the I do and the sort of now we pronounce you husband and wife at a wedding after the sermon, so you make sure people listen. But we've already kind of had that, and we celebrated it. So I was a little concerned, but I'm going to risk it anyway. And the first thing I want to do is share a sermon for this congregation, a charge to you as you think about what it means to receive a new pastor and serve alongside him, serve above him, serve underneath him, be together on this mission for Jesus Christ. And then you guys are going to get to listen in on a special sermon just for Mike as I share the same kind of thing with him. So if you have a Bible, turn in it to Hebrews 13. And I do want to notice, too, I'm sure there are a lot of dads here today. I want to say Happy Father's Day. I got, sad for you, turns out I'm the best father. My daughter told me so this morning. Thrilled to hear it. I bet you have some people in your life that might say a similar thing too. And it made me think as I was driving here. Father's Day is an exceptionally fitting day for a service like this, because being a pastor is, in many ways, yes, of course, Mike is a fellow brother alongside you in Christ. And yes, of course, like any good pastor, he's a servant leader underneath you. In fact, Christian leadership, rightly understood, the world would say leadership is like this, and that you work your whole life to get to the top of the mountain so you can be in charge. Not so with us. Not so with us. In the body of Christ, in the family that serves, there's just one person at the top. We're like this. We're like a valley. And Christian leaders climb lower and lower and lower. So, of course, Mike is going to be a servant leader among you. There's really no other kind of legitimate pastor, but even more, on a day like today, the metaphor of a father is powerful, because you have invited Mike to be a father among you, a father among you. So it's a fitting day to do that. I was taught by one of my spiritual fathers the tradition of standing at the reading of God's word, and so I want to invite you all to stand with me. This is for everyone. We're going to look at a couple verses that are very hard for a pastor to preach for himself, which is why people like me are useful, because we visit and then leave, and you can think whatever you want about it. Hebrews 13, a charge to you, verses 7 and 17. This is God's word for us. These words are not like other words. This book is unlike other books. These words today, forever, and especially today, are God's word for us. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says this: remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then verse 17, it's like it. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grumbling, for that would be of no advantage to you. Please be seated. Four things from these two verses that I want to put before you as you think about how can you follow Mike like a spiritual father? How can you make his ministry flourish among you? How can you experience the advantage that this passage talks about? Four things. First is I want to invite you to listen to Mike as he opens God's word among you. Verse 7 of this chapter says this: remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Your new pastor, it's not the first time he's been doing it, but he's going to do it here. Week in and week out, he will give himself to God's word for you. He will study and pray. He will discern and prepare. He will labor, and then he'll come to this spot, and he'll stand before you and say, here's what God has to say to us today. And brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to do the best thing you can do when somebody does that for you as a father who loves you. It's listen. It's listen. Listening is it's unpopular right now. It's uncool. For Christians, it's so important. Your God, in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, endeavors to speak to you on Sundays especially, and every day in particular, Lord. But as you come together among you, he wants his word to reign supreme, and that's one of the precious treasures of Mike's new calling. And one way you can make that a treasure is just listen. Just listen for the truth that comes from this word for you. Second thing I want to invite you to do, and this one's going to feel weird and sometimes is not popular, but I want to invite you to carefully watch Mike's life. Carefully watch his life and imitate his faith. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. This is a divine instruction for you. You are supposed to watch him closely. You're supposed to watch him like a hawk. You're supposed to inspect his way of living. You're supposed to see him, you know, at 8 a.m. If you want to know what a Christian is, come here and watch Mike. At 2 p.m., if you want to know what a Christian is, follow him home, right? You got to figure out where he lives. It's part of being his flock, right? During the week, if you want to know what an ordinary Christian looks like, look at him succeed and fail. Like the whole story. No heroes here, but the whole story. And it'll feel to your family. In one sense, you're leaving a big church, but can I just tell you on good experience, the fishbowl gets worse, not better in the little churches? It does. You can hide. I know this. I go to a big church. One of the reasons, not the only reason. You can hide in a big church. You can't hide around here. And you will feel like this fishbowl is difficult. But can I say to you guys, it is a discipleship gift that these people are called to watch you carefully. And for you, can you give him the discipleship gift of noticing his life, of watching it? We're all on this journey, and we're all growing. And so you know what? You're going to see some things, and you're going to look at them and go, oh, that's not like Jesus. Like, don't imitate that, right? But you will see, if you have the courage to look carefully with gracious eyes and a heart that loves, you will see a picture of Christ that is prepared for you, that helps you answer the question, what does it look like for me to be a disciple here? So I want to invite you, like, make this a redemptive fishbowl and see what Jesus looks like as you watch his life and imitate his faith. A third thing I want to ask you to do is follow his lead. Follow his lead in a way that produces joy and not burden. Verse 17 of this chapter says we're supposed to do a scandalous thing. We're supposed to obey. Even as adults, we're supposed to obey our leaders. We're supposed to do it in a way that produces joy, not burden. We're supposed to be, like, I've been in Christian leadership a long time, and there are people in my life who give me the gracious gift of following me in a way that allows me to experience joy. And I've been in Christian leadership a long time, and there are people in my life who follow me in a way that doesn't sound like this passage. And that's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. Nothing's wrong when that's happening. But if, as a congregation, if you want to lean into this moment, follow his lead in a way that produces joy, not burden. And these leader statements I'm making, you know this. Again, the Christian church isn't one of these. It's one of these. And the valley's pretty wide and low. There are a lot of leaders around here. So I'm not saying this merely for Mike as your pastor. This is true of your elders. It's true of your deacons. It's true of the people who set up and serve. It's true of your small group leaders. It's true of Sunday school leaders. It's true in your marriages and in your families. Like, the Bible gives us permission here to be self-interested. I love the last line of 17. It It says, follow them in a way that produces joy, not burden. Otherwise, you know what? It wouldn't benefit you. Like, I remember as a pastor, I would get called away a lot to preach. It's been a theme in my life. Here I am today. I'm not at my church. And when my kids were in the home, one of the things I would do is if I received an honorarium, I would split it up. Why? Because I wanted them to experience the advantage of my life in ministry. And that was a tangible way. With kids, you have to be tangible, right? Right? You are supposed to, if you follow Mike's lead in a way that's joyful, you know what'll happen in this church? It'll flourish. It'll flourish. You know what'll happen to you? You might flourish. And I know there are some here who aren't in this church, but you're close to this church. And being here today, you're making a promise to help this church, right? Even from afar, even from a distance. It's one of the joys of my life. I get to follow the lead of pastors who aren't my pastor, not directly. Mike, that's one of the things you're going to do for me. As I serve alongside you and we walk alongside one another, I get to look at you and I get to try to follow in your leadership too. And I hope that it happens. I hope as a superintendent, I do this in a way that's joyful. And that's the invitation for you. A final word is I want to invite you guys today from this passage, and then we'll a little more quickly go through the next passage. Pastors are always kind of modifying their time. Remember his family, will you? Be gracious to them. Please help them to grow alongside you. This role, as you know, will not just impact Mike Crawford. It's going to impact his dear wife. It's going to impact his popular kids as they were cheered alongside. Right? Can you be thoughtful and welcoming and caring toward them? This is their church too. He's their pastor also. He's his pastor also. It's a funny thing to open the Bible and say, Lord, help me to hear the pastor today. But he's going to do that too. So as you endeavor to do that, will you make this place a gracious place for them? Will you glue them here and stick them here? Will you help them to say, even as they know you've inspected everything about them, that coming to Antioch was a gift? It was a gift. They grew in Christ. That's how it would be a gift. That's my charge to you today from Hebrews. Now, Mike, I have a charge for you, and because my mentor had taught me this tradition that you're supposed to stand for the reading of God's word, I'm going to ask just Mike to stand, actually, and you guys can look at him. It's practice for that thing I talked about. And, Mike, this is a charge to you, brother, from 1 Peter 5, the first five verses. In my Bible, it's given the heading. It's an appropriate heading. Shepherd the flock of God. It says this, 5:1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Go ahead and be seated, Mike. A few brief comments for Mike, a charge to you, Mike, as you think about this ministry ahead of you. First, I want you to hear this, Mike. We affirm you as the pastor of Antioch Community Church. This passage talks about one elder speaking to another group of elders. And so together today, the first thing we want you to know is we affirm you as the teaching elder of this church. That's your role, that's your position, that's your place, and we are excited about it. I've been to a lot of services like this. Applause usually come later. They usually come later. It's a good thing. People are excited about you. They should come later, too. You can clap twice. It's a good thing. Second thing, Mike, I want to say this. We encourage you to remember these foundational pastoral practices. The passage calls us to shepherd the flock. You're going to make a lot of decisions around here. You're going to do a lot of public things. But there's this small shepherding reality, this alongside one another. It's a humbling thing to know this, but I promise you this is true. The hardest moments in the lives of the people that you're going to shepherd, you'll be there. You'll be right next to them. I had a friend text me this week and say, what are we supposed to do when this happens? And I was like, I don't know. But I'm there next to him. So, in fact, I thought it was an odd thing yesterday. Saturday is kind of a day off sometimes, occasionally. If you did your sermon prep correctly, it can be a day off. And yesterday, the shepherding needs of my pastoral world would not leave me alone. And I thought, come on, leave me alone. I just want to hit golf balls in the garage. You know, I just want to just do whatever. And it just wouldn't. Actually, they came and found me at night right before I was going to go to bed, too. They were on me yesterday. Shepherding this flock, providing care and concern, loving people toward Jesus Christ, holding their hands in the middle of the crisis, watching their lives, some in this room's lives will fall apart and you'll be present. You will be present for the very best these people have to offer and the very most difficult they experience. That can make you a little callous. It can make you a little tired. And I just want to encourage you, brother. It's a small, quiet thing that people will rarely see up here. You can't tell what shepherding is happening from up here. But they'll know, and you know. And those rumors can spread if you give yourself in love to these people that you are a pastor who shepherds. I want to invite you to do that thoughtfully. I also want to encourage you, Mike, as I think about this, to exercise oversight and to be an example. We've talked about that all the time. Today, oversight's like making sure this happens, making sure Sunday happens, making sure batteries are back here, making sure your volunteers have what they need, making sure you're looking for leaders, you're recruiting people, you're making sure the church works. It's not your problem alone, but it is your problem. It's your problem, and I want to encourage you to do it. I want to encourage you to do it. And then living it as an example, we've talked about that over and over again. These people desperately need you to look like a normal Christian to them. Not a paid Christian or a professional Christian, just an ordinary Christian. That's what you're supposed to look for in him. So we encourage you, Mike, these are the foundational principles. Two more quick things. We want to remind you, Mike, to guard your heart and your attitude. Now, if you look back through this passage, you'll see words like willingly and eagerly. You'll see words like compulsion and shameful gain. You'll see words like domineering, gracious, and humble. Mike, all these words are heart words. They're heart words. And this work will, I mean, yes, you took a job where all you have to do is preach every Sunday, right? What do you do during the week, Pastor? These heart words are what you do during the week. And your church desperately needs you to guard that heart, to be humble and gracious among them, to run from domineering leadership, which is really tearing our whole wide world apart right now. But not so among the people of God, we hope. So it's this invitation for you to have a heart that is guarded and right toward the Lord, that's serving willingly and eagerly. In fact, a word to everybody, if you look at the end of this passage, it invites all of us to wear humility like a garment. Like a garment, like a jacket we put on, because haunting words, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I confess, I've been watching our world and our culture these days, and I'm like, so worn out by it. And actually, this promise here today that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, it's very encouraging for me. I have no doubt it will mark your ministry all over the place, Mike. And it should, and it must. And brothers and sisters, help him too. And then a final promise, and then we're gonna pray a commissioning prayer over you and your wife, is this. Mike, we promise on behalf of this congregation, on behalf of a family of churches that you're part of, a day like this, you get 175 sister churches as part of the equation, and you get about 1,600 other churches as part of the equation. And you get every church, Mike, that believes the gospel and loves the scriptures and wants to reach the lost and shepherd the found. So on behalf of all of them, but especially this group and us as leaders who are charged to help you, we promise to be alongside you. You will not be alone while you do this. You have all these brothers and sisters in Christ. You have peers as pastors all across the city, and all across Minnesota, and all across the upper Midwest, and even down in Texas, and even everywhere in the nation. If you want to meet the Texas ones, I can introduce you if you don't already know them. But you're not going to be alone, and you shouldn't be alone. You have brothers and sisters. Christianity is a team sport, We talk about believing in a plurality of elders, which is a kind of a stuffy way of saying we're all in this together. We're all in this together, and you have leaders alongside you, brother. Lean on them. We will be alongside you. Now, to represent these truths that we've shared, remember, as a congregation, there's some truths you heard today. I hope you take them to heart. Mike, I've shared some things for you that are just some of the things you have to do. But to represent them, the best way we know how as God's people is to pray. And so we're going to pray a commissioning prayer. So I think at this time we're going to invite the elders up to come up. Mike and your wife, if you guys could come up. Latasha, if you could be up here too. And we're going to pray a commissioning prayer over you. And then I think we're going to sing after that. And then Mike's going to share, which will be really good. So come on up here. If you guys would sit right here, if you can. And if you all would stand with us as we pray.
Father God, we just want to thank you and praise you for Mike and Latasha. We thank you for the call on their life. We thank you for their humility. We thank you for their willingness to step out and say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And Father God, as we lay our hands on them right now, we pray that you would fill them anew with your spirit. That, Lord, that they would never feel alone, but they would realize you're walking with them. We pray for your leadership through them, and Lord, that you would guide and direct each step of their way. We pray for them specifically as they raise these two beautiful children. Give them wisdom and discernment. And Lord, then as Mike steps up to lead this church, Lord, give him clarity. Give him wisdom way, way, way beyond his years. Give him humility to know when to come and say, I can't do it or I'm struggling. Give him boldness to step out where he needs to. And courage to follow your word and your leading each and every step of the way. Father, we thank you for sending them to us. And we commit them to your care and keeping as they lead us. And Lord, I pray for us as a body as we're praying for them, that you'd help us to be faithful followers and true brothers and committed brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with them. Thank you, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, pardon me.
Thank you. And again, happy Father's Day. It is truly a blessing and privilege from Jesus to be with you all for this occasion. And first, to the three most important people in my life, to my wife, thank you. I can never thank you enough for your love and support and just everything. Thank you so much for everything. To our beautiful children, Livia and MJ, thank you for being the greatest children in the world. Daddy loves you so much, and I'm so honored and privileged to be your dad. And Tasha, I'm so honored and privileged to be your husband. To my extended family who traveled to be here today, Nana, Tia, Pawpaw, thank you so much for making that trip. Thank you for all your support throughout the years. To all my friends who are present with us today, thank you for coming and joining us today. And to our Antioch family, I first want to extend my deep gratitude to the pastoral search team, who, yes, who, as you heard, really took their job seriously. Thank you for asking hard questions during the interview process that made sure that I also took this job seriously. Thank you to the elders here at Antioch who entrusted me with the task and calling to be the lead pastor here, and then thank you to the congregation here at Antioch for unanimously voting and for being so welcoming to myself and my family during this transition. I'm humbled and excited to serve as the lead pastor here. Our church has a rich history, and we look forward to continuing that. So here we go. As we embark on this new season, I just want to give, real quick, three things that I'm praying for in this life of our church. Three things. Number one, I'm praying for growth. I'm praying for growth in our church. I'm praying that more and more people will fill this room for the glory of God. Yes, that this room will be filled for the glory of God, and that our church will grow numerically. But we don't want to just grow numerically. We also want to grow spiritually. We want to grow spiritually as well. We want to be people. We want to be a church that grows in our loving relationship with Jesus and grows in our love of the Word of God. We want to be people who grow closer to Jesus. And we also want to grow relationally. I'm praying that we grow relationally and in our love and our service and our appreciation for each other. So that we can do life together and we can build each other up and we can encourage each other and we can hold each other accountable. I'm praying that we grow in those areas. So I'm praying for growth, but I'm also praying for boldness and courage for Antioch Church. I pray that we be a church of people. I don't want us to live in fear. I want us to boldly share our faith in Jesus and proclaim the good news of Jesus and what Jesus has done in our lives. Here at Antioch, we have this evangelism strategy that I love that we use to talk to other people. And it's two questions. Will you read the Bible with me? And will you come to church with me? Will you read the Bible with me? And will you come to church with me? I want us to be sensitive. I'm praying that we're sensitive to those natural opportunities in our lives, in our neighborhoods, at school, at work, in our communities, to invite people and tell others about the freedom in Jesus Christ. In a world, as Brian talked about, in a world where there's so much hatred and violence and division, I want us to be a church of people who stand firm on the gospel. So I'm praying for that. I'm praying for growth in our church. I'm praying for boldness and courage in our church. And lastly, I'm praying for community impact. I'm praying that Antioch will be a church that makes a difference in Northeast Minneapolis and beyond, and that the lives of our friends and the lives of our neighbors are better because this church is here. We want to continue to partner with local agencies and organizations to give people the resources that they need for daily living so that they can come and get the best thing that they need, an encounter with the risen Savior. So I'm praying for that. So we want to spread the name of Jesus far and wide through our city, through our community. But we also want to be a church. I'm praying for this. I'm praying that we are a church that is welcoming to the hurting and the brokenhearted. A place where when people think of Antioch, they think of genuine followers of Jesus. Not necessarily perfect followers of Jesus, because you know no one is perfect, but genuine followers of Jesus. A place where people can come and lay down their burdens at the foot of the cross. So those are the three things that I'm praying for in the life of our church. I'm praying for community impact, I'm praying for growth, and I'm praying for boldness. And I'm excited, my family is excited, we're excited. I hope you all are excited, and we're just looking forward to what God has planned in this next chapter in the life of our church. Amen? Amen. Amen.